in from the KTOO newsroom right here in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The Juneau School District and its teachers union reached a tentative collective bargaining agreement Friday night. The teachers' previous contract expired last June. One major concern for the union was the district's proposed cuts to monthly contributions to health premiums. Juneau Education Association President Chris Heidemann says the details of the tentative agreement will be made public once it's sent to union members later this week. And then members will vote on whether to ratify it.
We feel like there are enough wins in this contract that members should get a chance to voice their opinions on it.
Last week, the union directed teachers to work only during paid hours and not take on any extra duties before and after school.
I'm pretty convinced that that pressure was part of the reason why we were able to move to a tentative settlement so quickly.
Superintendent Bridget Weiss says she hopes teachers enter the summer with a sense of closure and higher morale.
We were highly motivated, like the union was, to get this to this point. So we really value the work that teachers have done.
Once union members ratify the contract, a school board vote will follow. And last night, the Juneau Assembly narrowly voted against leasing the West Douglas Pioneer Road to iRide Alaska for e-bike tours. But they could reconsider the vote at their next regular meeting thanks to a rare move by one member. Some North Douglas residents spoke against the tours, saying the road is one of the last spots left for locals during tour season. Wayne Carnes asked the Assembly to prioritize local users of the road.
While my property taxes are skyrocketing, somehow the tourists seem to be more important. Over the past several years, I've had to give up areas in the summer to avoid the masses.
iRide Alaska hopes to offer e-bike tours Monday through Saturday, three times a day during tourist season. Each tour would have 10 people. Assemblymember Wade Bryson voiced strong support for the tours. He said the size of the tours, local ownership of the company, and their willingness to not offer tours on Sundays made it a good addition to Juneau tourism.
I don't think we could have had better applicants and a better tour at a better time.
We are facing 1.6 million possible tourists this year, and we are facing a community that is worried and very exasperated with the amount of tourism everywhere in the community.
That's Assemblymember Michelle Hale, who said she supported iRide Alaska's idea, but just not right now. Ultimately, the ordinance to lease the road to iRide Alaska failed, with four members voting in favor and five voting against it. But in a rare move, Assemblymember Bryson gave notice of reconsideration. That means the Assembly will have the opportunity to vote on the lease again at its next meeting on May 8th. As the Alaska legislature enters the final 30 days of the session, the House approved an operating budget on Monday that includes a $2,700 permanent fund dividend. The budget would also fund a one-time increase to the amount of money the state spends on each student in public schools. That's something districts around the state say is long overdue to cope with inflation. It's estimated the budget would force the state to pull nearly $600 million from its savings based on oil price projections. The bill passed along caucus lines with 23 members of the Republican-led majority voting for it. Representative Judy Coulomb, a Republican from Anchorage, acknowledges that the bill isn't perfect, but says the legislature is working on ways to bring in new revenue, including some new oil tax proposals.
I'm not thrilled about having a deficit that much, but I'm encouraged that there's coming a fiscal plan that maybe next year we won't be in this situation again. But I voted yes because right now, I mean, we need to fund the government.
Members of the Democratic-led Minority Caucus are critical of the bill. They say the PFD amount is too high considering the state's dire finances. And they say the one-time funding for K-12 students should be extended, so that districts can plan better. Ketchikan Independent Dan Ortez voted against the bill. He says without high oil prices, the budget would require pulling more than a quarter of the savings left in the state's budget reserve.
We can't shift our major budget votes and long-term fiscal plan votes around day-to-day shifts, month-to-month shifts in the price of oil, because as little as a month ago, it was not looking so good. And who knows what's going to happen in the future.
The budget now goes to the Senate, which has proposed a much lower PFD amount. The two houses are hoping to come up with a compromise before the constitutionally mandated end of the session in about a month. Representatives say despite its disagreements, the mood in the House is more cooperative than they've seen in the past few years. They say they're optimistic the legislature can find a compromise by the end of the session on May 17th. Three men in separate incidents this month have been arrested for alleged bad behavior on flights to or within Alaska. The three recent arrests occurred over the span of 10 days. According to charging documents filed in federal court, 42-year-old Eric Bruins was on an Alaska flight from Ketchikan to Juneau on April 1st when he refused to sit down during the plane's final approach. Bruins allegedly shoved a flight attendant before he was restrained and now faces charges of interfering with a flight crew. On April 5th, according to a different charging document, 37-year-old Adam Seymour was on an Alaska Airlines flight from Seattle to Anchorage when he made sexual advances toward a female passenger seated next to him and touched her against his will. The charges say Seymour appeared to be drunk, having apparently brought his own alcohol on the plane and at one point started smoking a cigarette. Seymour is alleged to have threatened other passengers who intervened and also had to be restrained. He's been charged with assault. According to yet another charging document, 61-year-old David Burke was flying first class on a Delta flight from Minneapolis to Anchorage on April 10th when he gave a flight attendant an unwanted kiss on the neck in the plane's galley area. A short time later, the charges say Burke allegedly broke a tray and the plate holding the pilot's dinner before getting back in his seat and falling asleep. Altogether, the pilot determined Burke posed a security threat, and he now faces charges of interfering with a flight crew. The Federal Aviation Administration says the number of such incidents has spiked in recent years. In 2021, coinciding with the coronavirus masking requirements, there was an all-time high of more than 5,900 reports of unruly passengers, according to the FAA. That number dropped to about 2,500 reports in 2022, but that's still far higher than any year prior to 2020. ExxonMobil told shareholders last week that the company doesn't expect to expand its activities in the Arctic. Exxon has been a major player in Alaska since the dawn of the state's oil industry. In a shareholder proxy statement, the company said it plans only, quote, relatively limited investment to sustain its existing Arctic interests. Those include a stake in some of the largest oil fields in Alaska, like Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk, and Exxon owns 21% share in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Environmental groups trumpeted the news as a sign that next year's lease sale in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge will be a bust. Tim Woody is a spokesperson for the Wilderness Society.
I think it shows that oil companies are losing interest in the Arctic and recognizing that it's a bad investment and it's bad business.
The Wilderness Society, the Sierra Club, and other groups have been trying to make the Arctic unattractive to oil companies, in part by pressing major banks and insurance companies not to support industrial activity there. Kara Moriarty of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association says Exxon's statement doesn't indicate a change in the company's strategy for the region.
And it does not say that they have no interest, because if they had no interest, then their assets would be up for sale.
A law Congress passed in 2017 requires the federal government to hold a second lease sale in Anwar by the end of next year. The first generated few bids and only a fraction of the revenue that was projected. The only bidder that has capped its leases in the refuge is a state-owned entity, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, known as ADA. And starting tomorrow, the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is hosting its 88th Tribal Assembly in Juneau. The annual meeting is when the tribe conducts its business, including making budget decisions. This year, they will consider changes to tribal election rules and elect a tribal court associate justice as well. During the pandemic, the Tribal Assembly moved online, so this will be the first one held in person in 4 years. Over 100 delegates who represent tribal citizens in 21 communities will gather either in Juneau or virtually. The assembly will be live streamed on Tlingit and Haida's Facebook page. This year's theme is Sovereignty in Land We Trust. It is a gorgeous day in Juneau today, currently 47 degrees with just a few clouds at Juneau International Airport. That's a normal temperature for today. The record for today was set back in 2021 when it was 68 degrees. Anyone remember that? There is a 10% chance of rain showers tonight before 7, and patchy fog is expected after 1 a.m., low tonight around 36. Fog again in the morning before 7 a.m., otherwise clouds and high near 47 again, and there's a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon. The sun returns on Thursday along with temperatures in the low 50s. Sunset tonight, 8:18, and it's back up at 5:36 tomorrow morning. This is KTOO News. I'm Jennifer Pemberton.